We're opening public hearing on Senate Bill 5527, the Department of Human Resources, and we will continue where we left off yesterday, and we have 30 minutes.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Bob Mink. I'm the Director of the Department of Human Services, and I have with me Bill Fink, who is our new field administrator, and also Kelly Friels from the Department of Administrative Services. We were going through this handout yesterday. And it isn't in the notebook, but it came separate from the notebook, and we were on page 7. And a couple of preliminary comments, if I could, Madam Chair. We've been working diligently on all of this. I'm a lot of hours and a lot of work on this, and we're not done yet, of course, and that's the thing I want to impress on you, is that we still have work to do. One of the things that I want to say to you is that Doug Wilson is working on the sort of the money and the staff that Representative Schrader and others asked for. We don't have that today, but we'll have it soon. We brought with us today, as part of our presentation, our idea about how we'd phase in these counties during a reorganization. But here's the caution that I wanted to leave with you about that, Madam Chair, and that is I've got a commitment with the counties, in particular the Association of Oregon Counties, that we would work with them on how we develop our regions to manage our services, so that we group our regions around natural county partnerships. And so we've got some work to do with AOC on that. And so as we get into this, I want to let you know that our ideas may be modified somewhat when we get in talking with AOC about it. And we're going to start talking with them on Friday, and that will continue over the next few weeks, about how we ought to configure the management structure around our county operations. So I just wanted to tell you that. And I've talked to Gordon Fultz from AOC and told him that we would be making this preliminary demonstration to you today, so they're aware of that.
I think as we move along this process and the train, and I noticed yours is keep the train running, the train inside of this building is beginning to run at a very rapid pace. And I would encourage you that as much detail as possible that you can not only get to this body, but to Representative Cruz is very, very wise if you're going to get the buy-off in this building, because it is running fast. And I think that the questions that are being asked will need to be answered.
Thanks, Madam Chair, and I understand that. We've got a lot of information for you today about the structure. And over the next couple of days, or today, and as we get into the committees with Representative Cruz and Senator Fisher, we're going to be telling them more about the future organization than you all know about the current organization or what's in statute about those organizations. I mean, one of the critical things that we need to ask ourselves is what needs to be in statute outlining the organization and what doesn't. And so we'll get into it right now. We'll get into some detail about how we think the field needs to be managed, because that's the most critical part. And then we'll tell you how we think we'd phase that in. So I'll let Bill get with it right now and get into the management piece of the field.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Bill Fink. I'm the group leader for developing the new human services field models. And I would, to make the best use of our time today, what I propose to do is to start out right where I left off with our implementation outline for how we would implement our field services structure, and then move from that to what our central office structure would look like during the transition period, since we'll be phasing this process in, during the transition period between the beginning of the phase-in to the end of the phase-in. Following that, what our operating model of a central office structure would be, and then take you to what the administrative support structure for actual local service delivery would look like, or what we believe it would look like now, if that's acceptable to you, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
We see this, as I said yesterday, we see this implementation as occurring as three bodies of work. The first is the structural reorganization, which includes the actual restructuring of our central office support to support integrated field services and restructuring of the administrative support out in the field to support integrated services at the frontline level. The second body of work is actually the functional integration of services. That's what occurs on Main Street, if you will. And that brings together all of our human services, our Department of Human Services resources, and invites participation by our partners, helps us fit into our partners' configurations in the communities to make sure that we can bring to bear all of the services that a client needs when they need them to be successful.
Do you have some timelines for this structural reorganization?
Yes, I do, Madam Chair.
Could you provide us with those timelines?
I'll be happy to do that, and I was going to do that next.
Okay.
The third body of work in this implementation is actually keeping the trains running. What we have to continue to provide high-quality services to our customers while we as an organization are making this transition. We don't want our transition issues to become difficulties for our customers during this process. So we have to keep the trains running.
Senator Yee.
What kind of a manager to staff ratio are you looking at?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, this is a preliminary picture of it. We're looking at, in the field, about a 1 to 15 ratio average. Now, in some areas of activity, the management and supervisory ratios will be richer than that because of the nature of the activity and the risk of making mistakes. And in other areas, they'll be a much larger span of control where the consequences of making a mistake are not so great. Give you an example of that. In child protective services, for example, the consequences of making a mistake in child protective services can be pretty significant, pretty severe. And in those areas, we would have a much smaller span of control for workers than we would in an area, for example, of determining food stamp eligibility, for example. In their structural reorganization...
Follow-up.
Pardon.
I've heard your presentation on reorganization several times, and I understand that the idea is to keep the field staff where they are working in the front line and try to streamline the middle management because we want to see you deliver quality work, but maybe you can streamline where a lot of middle management may not be necessary.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, Senator Yee, that's correct. Mm-hmm. And right now our staffing ratios between our case managers and their direct supervisors will be about the same after reorganization because we're keeping all those staff intact. Mm-hmm. But when you get above the direct supervisor, we're going to, you know, we're running five field operations now. We're going to run one. So it's going to narrow and it's going to shorten. And as a result of that, from the management structure that we have in the field today, we're going to reduce that by approximately 50 staff, 50 managers.
Mm-hmm. To move on to a set of time frames for the structural organization body of work. One of the major tasks in structural organization is to identify and deliver and describe our service delivery areas.
Just a question, Bob. You're going to reduce the office managers, and I understand that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to lay off 50 managers, because I understand that the vacancy factor within the agency is such that they will absorb those positions.
That's right, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. You call that attrition?
By
attrition.
Yeah.
Yes.
One of the major tasks under structural organization is to identify the service delivery areas, that is, the administrative geographical areas for our service delivery system. That's the body of work that Bob mentioned earlier when he was talking about our work with the Association of Oregon Counties and other stakeholders who really have have great concerns about how we draw those lines around groups of counties to actually administer our services. That's one piece of it. And to finish describing in great detail the service delivery model, that is exactly what happens to a client from the moment they walk through the door until we determine what their individual or family strengths and needs are, to a unified service delivery plan, to successful case delivery and closure. And that those tasks, identifying those service delivery areas and describing in great detail that model, we expect to have finished by the end of June. A second body of work under structural reorganization is to develop a central office structure and leadership to support our field operations, and we expect to complete that body of work during the time frame June to July of this year, this summer. As I mentioned earlier, we have to determine the number and the geographical areas of the service, the geographical boundaries of the service delivery areas, and that is work that we'll complete around the end of June after consultation with all of our various stakeholders who have concerns about how those lines are drawn. We'll have to make personnel decisions. As Bob mentioned, we will have fewer managers and fewer layers of management between frontline field operations and the administrator of field services. So we'll have to make personnel decisions about who are going to have what people will have those key management roles, and how we'll mitigate the effects of management reductions on current employees, as Bob just mentioned. And we expect to have that piece of work completed in July and August this summer. The next really significant milestone, I think, under the structural reorganization will be actually developing a highly detailed plan. Some of you, I think, have seen the work breakdown structure that brought us this far in the planning process. It's a collection of about 200 and some odd small tasks that all lead to larger results in the reorganization process. By the 1st of August, Bob has asked us to provide him with that sort of minute breakdown of every little task that has to be done to achieve each of the major goals that we have in implementing this reorganization in the field. And that'll be delivered to Bob by the 1st of August. We also propose to establish at the state office level a review committee that's comprised of stakeholders, advocacy groups, to actually oversee and advise the field services administrator on how this process is going. Are we meeting our goals and timelines? Is the quality of customer service being maintained? If it's not being maintained, what's their advice on what we need to do to intervene to correct any problems that occur during the process?
When do you expect to establish this review commission?
Madam Chair, we expect to establish the review committee in August, August.
And who are you suggesting will be on that review commission?
I suggest that the review commission be made up of key stakeholders such as the Association of Oregon Counties, representatives of advocacy groups for all of the client groups that we serve in field services, and other stakeholders who have concerns about how we actually go about implementing and correcting during the course of implementing the field services model.
Senator Hartung.
Now, may I suggest you have somebody from DOS too, because you know, in the final analysis, it's the governor who is the CEO of a $6 billion a year business, and that's where the buck should stop with him. So I hope you'll have somebody from DOS.
Thank you, Senator.
Madam Chair and Senator Hartung, they're involved regularly in this. We'll make sure they're in that part as well. and any other ideas you may have, we're happy to do this. We want to make sure that we do it right, and we want to keep this client focused.
I noted in the paper this morning that some of the client groups were at the hearing yesterday do have some concerns, and that's why I'm asking, who are you going to have involved? When are you going to start this process? Because I think that it's important that they're part of the process as early as possible so that their input is there. I mean, particularly if we're going to assure that we've got the bottom-up planning that we all say that we want to have occurred. So that's why I'm asking the questions about your timelines and when you expect to implement what and where, and what organizations are you talking to get them at the table to become involved.
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the committee, we have a stakeholders group right now working on this with us.
Okay.
And
so
we've
it's in place now?
It is. And what Bill's talking about here, a group who's very interested in local service delivery, who he will establish as an addition to what we already have. But you heard yesterday at the public hearing, the State Rehab Commission, you heard the Commission on Senior Services, you heard the Disability Commission and other representatives from the state courts and the counties. All those folks have been involved in some respects. Some of them would like to be involved more. I'd like to have them involved more, but everybody's very busy right now. We are on a fast track. And it, as I told you before, I've offered to pay per diem to get people here so they could participate. But getting the time to do it's the issue for folks. And people are advocating budgets. People from county are developing their own budgets in the county governments. And so it's difficult for them, but we want to involve them.
Yeah. I guess I don't want the train to go so fast that we don't assure that we're doing some good, particularly locally, when you're talking about integrated service systems, so that we're sure that we've got all the stakeholders and all the players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you and I talked about the rollout, and I think the rollout plan is critical to this kind of discussion of which county are you going to next, and so you can begin that kind of deliberate planning. And I think, you know, for me, it assures my comfort level.
Yeah. And Madam Chair, toward the end of this presentation, we'll be talking to you about the three phases and the way we see the counties right now, knowing that when we start talking with the counties this Friday, that may change a little bit with people's comfort levels.
The next large body of work, and I would just add to what I've said about the structural reorganization, that this is a phased-in process. We anticipate it occurring essentially in three groups of counties. The implementation will occur one after another in about 2 month time frames from the start of one flight or cohort of counties to the next one. The next large body of work is functional service integration, and this, as I said yesterday, is truly the heart of the matter. This is the way that our customers get served, the way that we bring our resources together with those partners in the community to serve people in a more effective way. And one of the first major tasks that we will do in early August, about the same time we establish the review committee, will be to establish a labor management advisory committee to work with representatives of labor as we move through this process. It will certainly, any reorganization like this as I've found in the last month or so, can generate lots of rumors and lots of misinformation and a lot of anxiety on the part of our workers. And when frontline workers are anxious about their working conditions and whether we're following our labor agreement or not, it means that they're worrying about something other than our clients. And we don't want that to happen. We want them to stay focused on worrying about our clients. So through the establishment of a labor management advisory team, we hope to be able to have a tight line of communication with the unions and with our workers so that we can identify any problems with our labor agreement or any incorrect information that's causing anxiety amongst workers and clients, and get those things corrected quickly. And we plan to establish that group in August. As I said earlier, the big piece of this work will be developing this detailed work breakdown structure with all the tiny little tasks that have to be done to put things in place locally.
I just need to interrupt for a second, Madam Chair. Regarding the labor management, I have an ongoing labor management meeting once a month with the union presidents that we have. We have several locals within our department. I meet with them once a month, and the topic of discussion is this reorganization. And we go through specifically. And what we've done the last two or three times, and we've done a statewide phone-in. So they have phones. We have a call, a meet-me call, set up so people can phone into a certain number and they can ask questions. So we have 30 or so locations around the state where once a month people can talk to me about their concerns in labor management. So what Bill's talking about in labor management here is, again, an add-on to what we're already doing, because we get very specific about counties. I'm already doing that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The work breakdown structure, the description of all the tiny tasks that have to be done to actually put the first group of counties in line beginning on the 1st of September. We'll also develop it in August, a calendar of the availability of administrative supports to things such as supports through our contract system, budgeting supports, information systems supports that will be available to implementing counties or service delivery areas as they begin their implementation. These things will, of course, take some time to put in place, and the planning, our thinking on the planning is this, is that people can begin to work locally to develop a better service system for clients if we can tell them when a particular piece of the information system will be available to them. They can plan to that target date. They can do a lot of things to get to the date that a particular piece of information, such as a common electronic case plan, if we can tell them that it will be available to you on November 1, the first group of counties that are implementing can begin their work and start putting things in place, counting on being able to implement that system on the 1st of November. So we'll provide all of our implementing sites with a calendar of when the various administrative supports that they need will become available to them. Currently, as we're working internally on this process, Cindy Becker, whom you heard from yesterday, has had members of her staff sitting in on each of the planning groups that are planning around implementation of field services so that they can help us identify what kinds of administrative supports in terms of our contracts, budgeting, information systems we will need. As we start to talk about what we want to do, they can tell us what they're going to have to do to put things in place for us. And they've been pretty heavily involved in the process. And they'll be the folks who will be putting the calendar together for us. And then we'll begin the phased implementation of the service delivery model at the local level. I'd like to say that we have pieces of integrated service delivery happening in one degree or another almost every place in the state. Some folks have been at it a lot longer. Much further down the road, Representative Bates is familiar with White City and some of the projects in Jackson County. They've been at it for quite a while there, and they're quite a ways down the road. Other places are just launching their first efforts. What we don't want to do as we're phasing our implementation is to discourage people who are launching their first efforts to move in the direction we'd like to go, to discourage them from continuing. There isn't any reason for them to stop. They need to continue on, and we'll encourage them to continue on and provide them with what support we can. But the focus of our resource support will be on those counties that are actually implementing during a particular period of time. pardon me.
We can do the Let's do it. Yep.
The phased implementation, as I said, will occur with the first flight or first group of counties, however they are geographically organized, beginning the 1st of September. The second group we propose beginning, around the 1st of November, with the final group beginning around the 1st of February. What you have in front of you now is our first proposal on describing the or listing the counties that would be in each of the cohorts, the implementation cohorts. There is some rhyme or reason to this. You'll notice that in the first cohort of counties, you see those counties that have served as our prototype models for the last year, a little better than a year. Those are counties where we feel that we have the best experience and the best understanding of how to do this. We propose to start there rather than to start in an area where we have less understanding of how we fit into the local community. We feel that the risk to clients is less if we start where we know the most and begin to learn there. Now, there are some counties in that grouping that have not been prototype counties, but you'll also notice that they're more or less organized around where the prototype counties are. Each of these groupings that you see here, based on what we know about the way counties tend to group themselves and the way workforce districts tend to group themselves and various other ways that our constituencies are organized, we think that it's safe to assume that in each of these groups there will be at least one small, meaning small meaning not so many clients, not so many staff, not so many facilities, service delivery area, one medium and one large, at least one of each of those in each of these groupings. So we'll, as we move along, we'll get some experience as to what it's like to try to do this in a larger service system, to try to fit into a larger local service system, what it's like to try to fit into kind of a medium-sized one, and what it's like to try to fit into a small local service system, because we're learning that they're all very different sets of issues.
Madam Chair, if I could just add to this, this is our initial look at this, and this is something that we want to work with counties on and with you about how to implement that. A couple of things I want to emphasize is that these dates you see are begin dates. This is going to continue over the biennium to make them better. The other thing that you'll probably be surprised about when you look at this, based upon my previous testimony, is that Multnomah is in the second fit part rather than the third. I'd always said that they would probably be last based upon their size. Bill has persuaded me that we ought to get on Multnomah County after the first phase, once we get some experience with Marion and Douglas, to get started on that. And the other part about Multnomah is we have small service integration projects going throughout that county. And there's some real desire from the county itself to get moving on this. So Bill has persuaded me that we do that with Group 2. Again, we need to sit down with the Association of Oregon Counties, my local government advisory committee, and go through this.
Bill, and we had this discussion about maybe delaying Multnomah County to the last because of its size, but also in looking at your rationale for your rollout, how much consideration did you give to the management information systems being online, and what part did that play in the rollout plan?
Madam Chair, as we develop this calendar of availability of supports to folks, we feel that we can provide that essentially in this order, based on the way we're designing it. We're starting out with an early design that will allow workers in local offices to enter their electronic working systems through a single portal or a single upfront application and navigate directly to those things that are specific to their type of work. For example, a worker in senior and disabled services would be able to enter the system and navigate directly to Oregon Access to do an assessment on a senior who just had come for services. Whereas a worker in VRD would be able to enter through the same portal and go directly to the ORCA information system, which is the way they keep their client information. This would allow them to continue to work without any visible interruption in systems with those clients who come to them for a single service, or all of the services that client requires to be successful will occur within that agency. Now, go ahead. The second piece of this is that not only would this sort of upfront application that we're working on, would it allow them to do that, but it would also allow them to share initially a common narrative form for developing a single integrated service plan for those clients who come with multiple needs from various DHS agencies and county partners who are participating. Similar to the way, if you're familiar with the track system down in White City, similar to the way that's being used down there.
Madam Chair, the essential thing about information systems, I'd just like to say to you, is that we're not proposing to rewrite them all. We don't have the money, we don't have the time to do that. So there's two basic things that have to happen for us to be able to do a better job with information systems so that we can do this reorganization. The first is, give our case managers access to all the systems. And so that's a simple thing of turning on securities. Security codes are turning them off so people can have access. The second thing is, and if you heard Hank Collins from Jackson County yesterday, he talked about the time in Jackson County when they had people in the White City Project who had to go from computer to computer to computer screen for different sites within the office to get different information. And we have a software package now called MetaFrame that allows all of those screens to come up on one screen. And so we need to get that out for our workers. And then the third thing is what Bill talked about is a common case narrative system. It's much like a doctor's office or a hospital where you chart clients, and that we're going to have a client charting mechanism that we're going to be able, that's going to be available to all our workers. So even though there's some separate information systems for each type of service a client would receive, there'd be a common case narrative system that we'd use. And what we're calling, it's called TRACS, and it's something we use in our AFS system right now that's a generic case management narrative system that we're going to make available to everybody. So if we can do those three things, we've made enough modification to information systems for us to go ahead. We can't afford to rewrite everything, although that's what I'd like to do.
And the system will still retain the existing historical data.
Absolutely. The system will still keep the historical data. It will be able to track by accounting code, by program, how we're expending our money and the amount of time our clients are in each program, so that when you're back next session, you'll be able to track every dollar that we spend and where we spend it, just as you are today. So that doesn't change. The accountability around the federal funds is still there. We're not going to divert federal funds for an unintended purpose in the system. We're going to continue to account for every dollar the way it's intended. As an example, at the public hearing yesterday, people were afraid that we're going to lose vocational rehabilitation money. Well, I have no intention of losing a dollar of rehab money, and not only that, I'll be able to show you through these computer systems where we spend every dollar for every program. We're not going to lose any of that capability.
Madam Chair. So this way, if a client goes to a case manager for, say, family public assistance, and then go to a case manager for alcohol and drug treatment, and then go to a case manager for, say, housing needs. So the applicant doesn't have to fill out a form 3 times. You have the same form available, the information available.
That's the result we want, Senator Yee, that we end up with a single entry. Now, when you get to a different program, there may be additional information they need, but they shouldn't have to repeat the same information over again. Mm-hmm. And that's the desire. Now, we're not going to get there immediately, but we're going to try to get to a single input form.
Yeah.
And then one of the things I have the information systems people working on, that once it's entered once, it goes to all the systems. That'll be a while for us to get there, but that's where we're headed.
We have a call to the house. Repeating the application.
Well, that
would be a real improvement.
Yes, that's what we're trying to do.
We have a call to the house. We are adjourned. I will reconvene you because this is too big of an issue. We can't come back today.
Okay.
We have to have a proposed view. We will probably take it up when you do your rebalance.
Okay.
Okay?
On Monday.
We are adjourned.